Quran and Mujahid to chair the session. There's very little point in electing, because we can all see what's happening. So just let her get started. These people have been sitting here all morning, and we need to get some work done. Thank you.
I hear your point, but can you just maybe run the meeting in terms of the rest of parliament, just in case something happens? So, can I open the floor for nominations? Okay, can you just press your mic for the river?
Ms. Palani Majaki.
Any second? Can I have your name for the river?
Honorable Castle Matale, I second the nomination.
Ms. Majaki, can you come into the meeting?
Good morning, honourable members, members of the Department of Correctional Services, the media present here today. My name is Kanapila Nemajake. I'll be standing in for the chairperson of the committee, honourable Mathole Motshega, whom I'm told lost her sister. Honourable Greitenbach, I can see you've got your hand up.
Thank you. Well, now that we know that the chairperson has lost her sister, we would like to express our condolences, first of all. Secondly, now that you've been elected, I suggest we dispense with the charade yet again. You can excuse your co-opted members because they've got absolutely no interest in this presentation, and let the people who are actually on this committee listen to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Greitenbach. I think at the end of the meeting, what we will need to do is to actually look at what we discussed previously. If the chairperson is not going to be there tomorrow, then what happens in terms of acting? So that, you know, we don't actually keep on going to and fro. But we have to do it according to rules. We're going to have to look at the rule book and then interpret it correctly.
So would you like to be elected today for tomorrow?
Minute, let me finish talking. So we're going to have to look at the rule book so that we can have an understanding as a committee as to what needs to happen under the circumstances of this nature. Honorable Matali?
No, thanks, Chair. I thought we are guided by rules of Parliament in terms of our committees should conduct themselves. And we just followed that. I think what the Honorable is saying there is completely out of place. We should proceed with the business of the day as outlined. Thank you.
Point noted. On our agenda, and we really need to apologize for starting late, for the members who are here early. It's something that was not within our control, even for the department, our apologies. On our agenda, we have a briefing by the Department of Correctional Services on its human resource management report on occupational specific dispensation plans on filling of vacancies in 2017-2018. I'm going to hand over to the department to present.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Joseph Katanga. I'm the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for strategic management. I'd like to tender an apology on behalf of the National Commissioner, who has had to attend to some urgent business back in Pretoria. But I am accompanied by the head of HR, who is sitting next to me, Mr. Emmanuel Koza. Next to him is Ms. Andronica Mabunda, who is responsible for parliamentary liaison. And then behind me, we have Mr. Tabo Shongwane, extreme right, who is responsible for HR planning, Mr. Jack Makheru, who is next to him, who is responsible for personal management, and Mr. Pelmos Mashabela, who is responsible for HR support. they are the technical team who would be assisting the acting head of HR, who I'll hand over to now to take us through the presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. We are going to take you through the HR matters as requested. In terms of our presentation, we will be covering the occupational-specific dispensation for correctional officials, and the plan of filling of vacancies, and the abuse of sick leave, as well as the status of shift pattern, and our future plans going ahead. Chairperson, with regard to the occupational-specific dispensation for correctional officials, we want to inform you that there was a resolution signed in June 2009, where the center-based and consultative resolution was signed, so that we can be able to look at revising the salary structure of correctional officials to be unique. Then, after the resolution was signed, it was implemented partially from 2009. And then, when we were implemented, there were two clauses which were a challenge, which was the clause 11.1 and 11.2, which was talking to the interpretation of years of experience in order to gain notches. So there was a back and forth. We were dragging each other to court. In fact, we were dragged by the labor organizations to court with regard to that interpretation. Then the court also pronounced that we should be able to go back and sort the matter out by ourselves, because we signed for the resolution. And that matter was prolonged up until last year, on the 21st of November, where a settlement agreement was signed. So the settlement agreement was signed to be able to implement the OSD, which for us was a milestone, was an achievement, because this matter was long outstanding. So with the efforts to be able to implement that, we had to adjust the qualifying officials, which were about 8,147. We adjusted them to correct notches. So I want to also inform the committee that with regard to the initial the resolution, we were supposed to pay the officials back dated from 2009. So, but with the settlement agreement, because we were looking at how costly it was, we had to agree and settle with the labor organizations that we will pay backdated from 1st of October, and we adjust officials accordingly, which is the exercise that we embarked on and started paying people from November. After the resolution was signed, we paid them. Those that were current serving officials, we adjusted them to the correct notices, which were starting from 1st of October 2016, and the back payments were effected in February 2017. So with regard to that, the challenges were the salary records, which were not updated after there was the various events. So that also prolonged the process to be able to get things right. So going forward, we were proposing that we will ensure and make sure that all salary cards are updated in terms of every event that is taking place. So for instance, if there's an annual increase, the salary cards must be manually updated. So in most cases, they were updating personal and making the salary cards, which is a manual paperwork. Then we also paid the 17% of basic salary back payment for the period 1 April 2010, 30 September 2016, which was also paid in March. So here also, we had to also agree on a 30% once-off payment to comprehend on the period that we were supposed to pay back dated from 2009. So we certainly can agree that we will give each and every qualifying official a 30%. And that 30% was staggered into three years. So the first year we were supposed to pay the not find their challenges, we were able to pay. The only problem is that some of the officials were omitted because of that problem that I indicated earlier on the SAC salary record. But we had to do a cleanup and work on those that were omitted. So when we also looked at the 608 cases of officials who were identified to be called incorrect and were recalled, and they are currently in the process to be paid. So as and when we were working on this, we had those that were incorrectly paid, and then we recovered that, and we started their payments from scratch. So the challenge there, the spreadsheet utilized was programmatically throwing the notches around. So we were using the Excel spreadsheet to be able to adjust their payment in terms of their resolution. 6,871 cases of officials who terminated their services before 1 October 2015 were calculated and verified already to be paid not later than 30 June. The resolution was dictating that we should be able to look at this payment before the 30 June. So we anticipated the volume of the work with regard to that. And since these officials are now out of the service, our challenge here is us to can also get the tax clearance because we are not paying them through PASA, we are paying also them through BES. We should also be able to have them registered on BES. So we had also realized that we are not going to meet the deadline of the 30 June. We had already negotiated with unions and informed them that we are not going to meet the 30 June payment. So I must also be able to indicate that for us to can arrive at this, we firstly prioritize our current staff that are in the system so that we should be able to make them positive. And then we are now left with those that are out of the system. So we are that is with regards to the OSD. I must able to indicate that with regards to the OSD, we also got teams that came from the regions to can able to do the checks and balances and look at all those that were omitted with the initial processes. So we continued with the payment up until last week while the team was in head office. With regards to the plan in filling of positions, Chairperson, we have an approved establishment of 41,994 approved post establishment, which has got 39,266 filled positions, which leaves us with vacant post of 2,728, which brings us to 6.5% vacancy rate, which is lesser than the norm that is given by DPSA. DPSA says at least the department should have 10%. So we have achieved in terms of that. So in terms of the breakdown on the senior management services, we have an approved post-establishment. The senior management services from director upwards up until to the national commissioner, we've got 215 vacancies, the approved positions, and we were able to fill and to have 188 filled, and we've got 27 vacant posts. I will also illustrate how we arrive at those vacancies. So we have also a breakdown that shows how we are looking in terms of the regions. So in terms of the national vacancy rate, according to the occupational specific dispensations, we have a breakdown of vacancies on artisans, which illustrate that we have got 303 vacancies. And then with regard to the center-based officials, we've got 1,169, which is the one that we were talking of, the OSD that has been approved. And in terms of educators, we have 85 vacant posts, and we've got engineers, 45, legal admin officers, 17, medical officers, 8, and the non-center-based, these are people that are doing administration within the centers, 91. The pharmacist 10, professional nurses 135, psychologist 11, social workers 47. So in terms of those ones, they give us a 4.97 vacancy. And And for the national non-OED vacancy rate, that talks to the top management, senior management, as well as the public service administration, which are mostly reside, the PSA are mostly people residing who are placed in head office and regional offices nationally. The recruitment and selection plan, I must also indicate that on senior management level, we still have a post of a minister that reflects vacant on our person, which we are in the process also of abolishing. We kept that because we were not sure whether we should be able to abolish it, because the minister is currently placed physically in the post establishment of the Department of Justice, not in Culture and Civic. So we received a green light to rechannel the funding, and then we had the impression that because there was a talk that obviously there can be the possibility that the minister comes, or there should be a minister that comes to Culture and Civic. We decided to keep that, but at this point in time we received a green light that we should be able to abolish that post and prioritize funding for other pledging positions. We also have the Chief Deputy Commissioner positions, which refers to the RCLMN and RC Gauteng, as well as the CDC HR, and also the ones that I have also not listed, the CDC Community Corrections and the CDC Social Reintegration. That are also on the CDC level. Then we have also deputy commissioners, which are on level 14, which are also vacant, and we are, most of them are also in the process of being filled. So, and the chief deputy commissioners and deputy commissioners, the submission of this appointment memorandums are up, the delegation lies with the national commissioner, but they are referred to the minister for consultation. So most of those positions that are referred to, even the shortlisting, are referred to the minister's office. The CDC's post, the delegation also lies with the minister to do the shortlisting and finalize. Then the directors, we are in control. We can able to fill the positions as possible as we can. So we had the 11 posts that have been advertised, and they are on various stages of finalization. And here I can able to indicate to the committee that we are accelerating the process. We came up with interventions that we draw a report on those that are going on retirement. Before they go on retirement, we advertise the position. We are only avoiding to conduct the interviews while they're still in the department, because some of them, we had the case where some of the one has claimed constructive dismissal to say, how do you want to fill the position while I'm still here? So we normally wait for them to exit and start with the interviews. With regard to scarce and critical skills, the department retention strategy is currently being reviewed in an attempt to curb the number of officials exiting the department. So on this one, in our retention strategy, we had the clause that was able to, when they leave, we should be able to top up their notches or look at the vacant position that we have. When they give them the first notch of that particular salary level, we will give the higher notch. The department will continue to draw from its operational HIRA database in filling vacancies. So we had the operation HIRA process where we sourced out over 13,000 CVs, which we're still having in our database. With regard to that, as and when a person terminates the service today, we can able to draw from that and have another person assuming duties the next day. The only problem is the availability of those candidates, because some of them, they are job hopping, some of them, they get jobs and they don't stay long. A dedicated recruitment drive to establish database to promote timers filling of vacant posts has also been finalized. The absorption of learners upon certification by SASITA. If you observed on our vacancy rate, in February, Chairperson, we were able to absorb, we had a pool of 2,070 learners that were available to be absorbed. So we absorbed 1,698. So we still having 149 plus that we can still absorb. And we had already trained 996 learners which were also, as I said, the declared competent, which are also available to can able to be absorbed on entry level positions. So I'm not able to confirm to Chairperson that with regard to correctional officials on entry level, we no longer having challenges. We continuously have people that are available that can be absorbed into vacant positions. So the only problem that we're still having is the issue of us moving from one region to another region or from one management area to another management area. So in the previous meeting that we had, we said that if there is no a post in a specific management area, they must be transferred to another management area where the post is available. We had also had the learnership program, which we advertised and it closed on the 2nd of June, which will also be making learners available. So we minister indicated that we should be able to have three groups. We just advertised two groups at this point in time, which we are about to finalize. We are busy with the gross listing. And also with regard to that, we're having a high volume of applications that we receive in 10%. That also impacts negatively on our turnaround time in filling a position. So at this point in time, we are able to indicate that the gross listing process is prolonged because we should be able to make sure that each and every CV that is received is placed on our database. And thereafter, we will conduct the shortlisting and interviews. With regard to general vacancies that are non-OSD, we had not necessarily a moratorium, but we had put a slow pace on filling of positions due to the cost containment measures, which made us to get able to prioritize funding and channel the funding to other appraising activities. One of them, which is very key, is the OSD that I already presented. So we went to Treasury in order to pay this OSDs, which wanted about 420 million. And Treasury indicated to us that they can't give us additional funding. We must use the current baseline. So we had to slow down and see how best we can able to pay that. So out of the 14.8 billion that we had, so we had to juggle around and see if we can able to get savings from the vacant positions and pay the OSDs and other pressing issues like the medical bill to terms of the continuation members, as well as the health risk manager. So the ones that I'm mentioning, we did not have the budget allocated for. And as and when we approached Treasury, Treasury was saying, correctional services, you have got to use the current baseline in order to pay. So in most cases, we utilize the funds that we have available to us. So on the other strategy was that to capacitate post-advertisement to a short-term and cross-listing of applications. So as I indicated that we have a problem with regards to the cross-listing. So we also had to employ contract workers to get able to utilize them as data capturers to improve on the turnaround time. So we also went on auditing the organizational structure and determined its impact on health and wellness of employees. We also went on to the issue of the rollout of the e-recruitment system, which we also realized that it will able to improve the turnaround time. So also, Chairperson, on this one, the e-recruitment system, we had already developed a system. We had a system within the department. We did not procure any system from any other person. So it is now in an advanced stage where a person can be able to apply online, and the system can automatically draw up a gross list. So we are almost at an advanced stage. We are intending to be able to implement in the new financial year. So we trying to can also regulate that present so that we can able to go to the bargaining chamber and negotiate with the organization. Once we have this, most of our problems will assist, because the system also assists us in terms of sifting those that does not meet the basic criteria, the basic requirements. So it will be able to tell you that these ones, they don't qualify. So it will also improve our challenges. I'm not able to indicate the chairperson that any post that we advertise, except the critical and scarce skills, we have an influx of people that are applying for the Department of Culture. Chairperson, with regard to the abuse of sick leave second May, the utilization of sick leave for 2016, an employee is entitled to 36 working days sick leave with full pay over a 3-year cycle. Any unused sick leave credit shall lapse at the expiry of that particular 3-year cycle. So, Chairperson, I can also indicate that some of the people, upon realizing that they will lose that, they go and eat on that, even if they are not sick. But we had learned that some of these things, they are catching up on them, because even when they are very sick, they need those days, and that is where they go and ask for additional sick leave. The current sick leave cycle started 1 January 2016, and it will end 31 December 2018. A total of 402,844 days were lost due to sick leave from a total of 37,132 official days, which constitutes 95.5% of employees. A total of 1,576 officials had already exhausted their sick leave for the calendar year 2016 and are therefore prospective candidates for temporary incapacity leave. So when they apply for temporary incapacity leave, that is where it is catching on the abuse that they had while they were not sick. Because the health risk managers are also looking at the trends and also the days in which these people are taking leave. Some they take leave, sick leave after the 15th, some they take leave after the weekend. So which I also made the illustration, sick leave utilization pre and post holiday. So we looked at that during the holiday, 26th, after the 27th, 1,314 employees booked off sick. And in terms of post-holiday, 28-29, extending that weekend, making a longer weekend, 1,330 employees booked off sick. So we looked also on the holiday, which was on the 1st, and on the 2nd, we found that most of the people were at work. The 16th of June, we also did not have people that taken that leave. But you can also on the 3rd to the 4th of May, 1,727 employees booked off sick. So which also shows that post the holidays, every time there is an extension of that. On the 17th after June 16th, 733 employees booked off sick as well. On the pre-holiday, there also we found that on the 8th of August, 619 employees booked off sick. So this also we realized that people also look at the traveling time, that they don't arrange properly because they know that the supervisors will not be granting approval. So our challenge is with regard to the mentioned aspect is that the signals are presented, which are legitimate, which we verify, which also limits us to get able to take leave without pay. So, but where in areas where they are booked a shift and they make a pronouncement that I can't able to work this shift, we always evaluate and say this is a deliberate attempt to not to report for leave. We don't say it's leave without pay, but we say sick leave without pay. And also take the time stamp, because we know that this person has indicated that I'm not going to end that shift, because some of them they will able to tell you that my doctor will not like that, and they deliberately report it. But we don't pay leave without pay, and we institute disciplinary steps against such condition. But in most cases, it's very difficult because they present legitimate sick leave, and it makes our lives difficult. Impact of normal sick leave utilization. The department does not have actual records of abuse of sick leave, as I indicated that it cannot be easily seen with two naked eyes. you assume that they are abusing, but when you go on the record, you find that there is a tangible record that substantiates their absence of sick. Sick leave utilized pre and post holiday may be analyzed as attempt by officials to justify length of their or length of their absence from work. A total of 5,393 officials took sick leave on a paid day. This is all normally happening at the production and junior level. So when on the 15th or on the 30th, because you've got those that are paid on the 30th and those that are paid on the 15th. The 30th is those that are still on the probation, and the 15th is after the probation and after they are confirmed as permanent employees. So the overall cost of sick leave taken for 2016-2017 financial year was 488,788,000. So that is how the sick leave impacted on us. The utilization of incapacity leave for 2016, as I already alluded, that a total of 3,000 cases were received across all categories with only 3,819 finalized results. These are the cases where your little basic cycle has been exhausted, then you want to have additional sick leave to cover the period of that absence. So we had 3,090 short-term cases which were received and finalized. 665 long-term cases were received and finalized. 71 ill health retirement cases were received, and 64 cases were finalized, which 2 cases deferred and 5 cases are still under assessment and are still within the prescribed time frame. So the challenges, the insufficient medical information remains a challenge on both short-term applications and to a great extent insubstantiating an application for ill health retirement. So this is the process that I was alluding to, that we refer to the health risk manager, which service provider appointed by the department to be able to look at the nature of the ailment of a particular person, and they advise the department on approval of such a longer period. So the proposed solution also, because we realize that some of these things are taking time because of the lack of training, we wanted to intensify training and the workshop to be officials that are handling incapacity. So, and also regular monitoring and evaluation of this particular aspect. So what we did also with regard to this intervention, we have quarterly meetings where residents are presenting their cases, and also we receive reports from the health risk managers on cases that they receive and cases that they are handling, and also establishing a good relationship with the individual service providers in the population. So that has also bear fruit for us. We have seen a high improvement in with regard to turnaround time. So incapacity of leave utilization, a total of 40,500 incapacity leave days were registered across the department, and the cost of such leave days is 34,533,000, which also is coming from the use of sick leave. A total of 29,642 days at the cost of 25,000,002 were approved, while 10,759 days, which amount to 9,180,000, with various reasons from inadequate management of sick leave, poor sick leave, proper insufficient dividends of so these were the ones that we referred to evidence manager. Evidence manager advised us not to approve. So they took on this one. Some of them we effected leave without pay. Some of them we took their current leave. Some of them we went and took their kept leave. A total of 3,035 officials took incapacity leave adjacent to the weekend. Potential cases of normal sick leave and incapacity leave abuse. So 6,107 days were taken pre and post holiday. This is more or less what I had already indicated to the committee. Chairperson, with regard to the status of the SHIP system, so as we are well aware that we had the 2x12 SHIP system, which we embarked on an interview to be able to see how best we can be able to have rest time for our employees. This was signed together with the resolution of the resolution 2 of 2009 of the OSD, where members were working more hours. So we realize that it's a problem because there's a shortage of staff and we can't be able to deliver on the departmental mandate. We went and proposed a SHIP hour system, which was an old SHIP system, which will require them to work 8 hours and allow them to be available at work where the necessary services are needed. And also for the shift system, night shift, which is starting from, in other cases, it will be from 2, night shift will start from 2 to 10, 10 to 6. So there you will not need much people. But for this shift, you will need much people. The programs can be able to run. You will have sufficient staff. Now, the current 2x12 shift system, you have people that are divided in 4 divisions. And while you have 100 people, you divide them into 25. And then that shift demands that we should be able to have sufficient staff. So since that we are unable to can able to get additional staff, we could not able to sustain the 2x12 shift system because we needed more additional staff. But because we can't able to get additional funding to have additional staff, we decided to go back on the 8-hour shift. We had already consulted with labor with those proposals. So we had a meeting on the 17th of May 2017, and both unions have agreed in principle to be able to revert that. And they indicated that they are still going to obtain proper mandate from their principals of various labor organizations. So this process also, it has dragged for quite some time because of unavailability of stakeholders to conclude the resolution. I think also on this one, the preparatory work was done, consultations were made. And every time when we go to the bargaining council with labor, they will say to us, no, we're not talking to you as long as you are not finalizing our OSD. So priority was given to OSD. Now the OSD is finalized. Now we're putting energy on the shift system. So at this point in time, we are going to have a meeting scheduled for the DBC, which is scheduled for the 23rd of June. To be able to deal with this matter as a priority. So our initial plan was to have the shift system implemented by the 1st of June, but because of the consultation with labor, we are held back to be able to explore and address to avoid and avoid. So in our case, if we can able to finalize the shift, we were able to finalize the OSD, I think the morale of our staff is almost improved. If we can finalize the shift system, we will be able to have a better environment, even though we know that you can't be able to satisfy employees 100%. With regard to our future plans, the department is in the process of executing the NAFIC program of over 2,064 candidates, which I already indicated that we advertised the closing date has passed. We are currently working on the process. The department has completed consultation on the revised organizational structure, which is currently awaiting the development of business process engineering. So we are almost done with this particular process. We are also, parallel to that, we are also working on the post-establishment care center in all the 2.3 centers. And there, as we indicated, that also on this one, the treasurer has also indicated that there shall not be any additional funding, so we try to look at how best we can be able to return the time to get able to have our establishment completed. The department is in the process of developing a cabinet memo which also talks to additional funding, which it has already been consulted with you. So we are in the process of now submitting it to the JMA Cluster meeting as well as other Cluster meetings. The department is also in the process of procuring additional uniforms for members, which has already been finalized. The uniform has already been procured and delivered at Windbank. So because of availability of funds, we were able to procure only the brown uniform for the official are waiting for them to submit their needs for that particular year. So we must be able to indicate that we had a backlog of about 6 years where we did not supply uniforms, and the reason was because there was talks to be able to change uniforms from these materials or other materials, and also looking at changing the types of uniforms that we were making. So as a result of those consultations, the members felt that we don't have a problem with this, and also we looked at, we still had the material that needed to be cut and cleaned, which was lying in our stores in Witbank, which was going to be a fruitless exercise if we had to went to the process of ordering. Chairperson, with regard to that, I must also thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for the presentation. What's actually disheartening about the presentation is to look at the vacancy rate, still too high. We're hoping by now when you come to us, we'll have found that you have actually managed to occupy these positions. If you look at the vacancy rate, just at head office is 25%, which means that you have only three quarters of people you're supposed to at senior management level, probably supposed to implement the mandate of correctional services. I think this situation needs to be corrected like yesterday. And then when you also look at level 15 vacancy rate, it says 46%. So almost it's as if whoever you wanted to be at management level has not been appointed. And then you look at what do you call this one, of the professionals, vacancy rate of OSD for, like for example, if you look at the engineers, 78%, I'm sure it actually almost stops you from doing anything that requires engineering. Medical officers, 44%, legal officers, and these legal officers, what's said is that the other day, the Department of Justice was actually presenting to us, and they were talking to us about the interns that they're actually trying to put on board. But what we have said to them, we have actually discouraged them from taking interns of legal officers, because of the fact that when you look at what these people earn, it's almost nothing. It creates crisis for their families. We can use interns or learnerships where there is no vacant positions. Where there are vacant positions and people have got qualifications, they must be appointed. Because it creates just a crisis and expectation on the families of people who go in and out of the house. In the first place, they went to study and then they come in and out of the house and they're purported to be working, and there's so much of demands. And in your area of work, it might actually also promote corruption. You know, when you put somebody in a very difficult space, and there's so much that is taking place that opens them up for corruption, it's something that we need to actually look at. You have improved on the social worker, psychologist, which is good, which is what we actually complained about previously, but it's good that you have actually improved on it. I wish to see figures on your disciplinary procedures and matters. How many cases were taken for disciplinary procedures? What were the type of charges? So that it actually talks to areas that we think are problematic within the correctional services, to see if whether we are in the position to manage to deal with them. And also with suspensions. How many suspensions, what are the charges, the level of appointment of people who have actually been suspended, whether it's with or without pay. You know, it will be good if you can be in the position as a follow-up to this report to send us information of that nature. that can actually manage to inform us accordingly. And then in terms of 8-hour shift or the shift system, you're actually saying that it's because you don't have enough personnel to manage to do the shift system. But then when you look at the vacancy, they aren't in the position to manage to get the appointments from what is vacant in order for the appointments to make up for the shift system. Though maybe the challenge might be if you look at the fact that most of the vacancies are at SMS. But I'm sure you need to do your restructuring to manage to be in the position to deal with areas that are of concern, because when you look at the ratio of personnel to inmate, it actually says 1:3. So you have a lot of personnel for correctional services for you to be in the position to manage to get to into any area of work and manage to do the work accordingly. Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, my major worry would be the vacancy rate that continues to be high. On the other hand, you are busy with learnerships, but people don't have jobs. We have to actually ensure that we utilize your department also to create all these necessary jobs that South Africans are actually, or provide, because you have created the positions. Which I imagine have actually been funded from the budget that is just approved. So you have to actually give people the jobs. And I'm sure we do have enough people in South Africa who can be in the position to fill these positions. Can I open for comments and questions from members? I will recognize Honorable Breitenbach, Honorable Horn, to be followed by Honorable Mutapo, Honorable Mpumlana.
Thank you. You've already mentioned the vacancy rate. I however would like to know what the reasons are for, you know, we keep getting these tables of vacancy rates. And there's not much improvement, frankly, on the vacancy rates, but to just get a table that says top management, 44.4% vacant. I'd like to know why are they vacant? Why is it that you can't find people to fill these jobs? What is so special about these jobs that in your own ranks you haven't trained people sufficiently to fill those types of positions? And why are you unable to fill them? Particularly with reference to the top management. Then, again, you say in your presentation the salary cards were not updated and this has a knock-on effect. Why were they not updated? It's not helpful, and this isn't meant as a criticism to those people who are here, but you are here now, so you must provide the answers. Why were they not updated? We need to know why, so that and what is being done to ensure that this doesn't happen again. And then I'd like to understand how it happens that you have to pay 6 years worth of back pay. What happened to those people in the 6 years that you owe them such a huge amount of money? Why were they not paid? Who in this day and age can wait 6 years for their money? How does that happen? I need an explanation for that. You've already said that you won't meet your own target of the 30th of June 2017 for the deadline to pay those who are no longer in the service. So what is the new deadline? Is it on the never never? What's going to happen? These people have obviously left because you have owed them money and you haven't paid them. And then they gave up and went elsewhere. So you've lost people that you can't afford to lose. And now you're compounding the insult with an injury of not paying them. Why is it? And what is the deadline? And how are you? What are you doing to meet your new deadline? And then you've got a number here, I think it's 687, I'm not sure, that are currently in the process of being paid. What does that mean exactly? What does it mean are currently in the process of being paid? Are they being paid? Have they been paid? Are you paying them bits and pieces? Are you hoping to pay them? What does it mean? These are people who've got families, as the chair has pointed out. They've got responsibilities. What does it mean they're in the process of being paid? I'll see if the other questions are not covered by my colleagues, and I'll ask again if necessary. Thank you.
Honourable Horn.
Yes, thank you, Madam Acting Chair. In addition to the question already asked on the OSD payment and the fact that this was money owed for a period of 6 years, I would just like to get some more information as to what the impact will be on the financial statements of correctional service. Because obviously if this money was owed in 6 prior financial years, to pay this now, if it was not carried over, and the way I understand the financial systems within government, that it in any event is not permissible to carry it over from 1 year to another. And remembering back to our briefings on the budgetary provisions for the last financial year, there was never an indication of this lump sum to be paid in terms of OSD in the last financial year. So I think we maybe at this stage already need information as to how this will be branded by the auditors and ultimately the Auditor General, and what impact it will have on the financial statements we will see later on with the annual report. Then, Madam Acting Chair, also in respect of the vacancies, I think if the information is not readily available, then in future we should also, in order to try and get a better picture of the vacancy rate and the fact that it's never really, as has been alluded to, the department never seems to be able to make a dent in it, specifically in respect of critical skills. I think we now are at the point where we need more specific information. For example, how and when are these positions advertised, if at all, and what is the type of turnaround the department is looking at in filling any vacancies? Because obviously they must fill some vacancies from year to year, but the fact is if the rate at which people leave positions are more or less equal or even greater, then we will never turn the corner in cutting down on the vacancy rate. So I think in terms of human resources reporting, I think we as a committee must now start asking what is the average time after a post is being advertised until it ultimately gets filled. And then in respect of learnerships, you've already referred to it. As a matter of fact, our researchers tell us that in May 2017, a number of learnerships has been advertised. So maybe just some feedback in respect of what the process is to fill these learnerships will also already, given the fact that we're middle June, help us get a more complete picture in respect of the way the department is dealing with vacancies. And then lastly, Madam Chair, we as a parliament, and this committee dealt with it previously or in the recent history, dealt with the amendments to the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill. And you and colleagues will recall the fact that these panels tasked with the assessment of the capability of trial awaiting inmates to understand procedures or in the alternative to be declared state patients ultimately. That whole legislative arrangement has been changed by those amendments, and so I think some feedback from the department as to whether they've implemented any steps to capacitate and set up those panels in a timely and prudent manner deal with those legislative amendments and the consequent additional burden we all at the time knew would be placed on correctional services, whether any practical steps have been taken to implement that. Thank you.
Honorable Mutapo.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, and officials from Department of Correctional Services. Chairperson, let me start by concurring with you on the issue of vacancy rate and my colleagues from DA. Especially when you look at that slide, which is, yes, the same slide. Chairperson, when one day I paid a visit to Kosimamburu Correctional Center and other centers, it was discovered that I'll give you an example of this high vacancy rate of artisans. The hot water system was not working. And this in itself has a negative impact on Program 5 of the department. Therefore, I humbly appeal with our officials, the officials of the department, to take this issue of vacancy rate very, very seriously. And again, last time when they are, on previous occasion, when they appeared before this committee, there was the Bulugwane issue of nepotism when coming to issue of hiring. The national commissioner promised to give this committee a full report. But Chairperson, up to now we haven't received anything subject to correction regarding the Bulugwane issue. While they were presenting, mention was made of making of savings from non-filling of positions to pay OSD, Occupational Specific Dispensation. My concern, Chairperson, is that in the long run, this will have a very negative impact on the program if money is taken from a certain program to pay for OSD instead of filling in of those positions. So maybe the department can state how and what do they intend, or when do they intend filling in this position, the turnaround time in filling of those vacancies. And again, on learnership recruitment program, Chairperson, I'm a bit concerned because the presenter mentioned that they advertise in newspapers and so forth. There is a problem for people living in far-flung rural areas. There are no newspapers there. Why is the department not adopting the Department of Justice strategy? They take the advertisement to municipalities and to traditional council offices. That's why the Department of Justice, as we are speaking now, like in Limpopo High Court, most people who have been hired there for a 12-month contract come from rural areas. So I appeal to the department to adopt the same strategy which has been adopted by the Department of Justice. And then the last one, Chairperson, when they engaged with the committee previously, the department mentioned that they intend implementing e-recruitment system. Maybe if we can be briefed, or how far are they with this e-recruitment system? Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Mpana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to say thank you for the presentation, and I also want to raise some points regarding the appointments and the working of the personnel in the department. It seems I understand that this department depends mainly on the personnel of the people, that how they are being treated, their satisfaction, and as well as the happiness of the members of staff, as well as prisoners, depend entirely, mainly on this department. So it's a very, very important section. I want to, when we decided to change prison into correctional service, we thought that two things are going to happen. I just want to find out how far they are. One is that in the olden days, you would probably, if you have got a problem with your officer who is above you, report, in fact, to that officer. To above. If I'm a junior, I've got somebody above me. If I've got a problem against him, I report to him. He decides to take it up. Question, how far has that stopped? Has that changed? In other words, how are grievances processed in this establishment? I'm talking from an ordinary member to the commissioner level. Because I think that if it is the old system whereby I have to report to you about complaining about you, very little changes me. Secondly, how far is the... Are you sure that the regional commissioners are directly involved not only in the appointments or as well as in the control of personnel in their area? Would you say yes? I have the other thing that changed this into a correctional services, this establishment, is the facilitation of correcting offenders. I see in your table that about a third of the personnel is of the that are, in other words, the personnel that are involved in changing it, this department from prison to correctional services, there are a lot of vacancies, almost about a third of the total vacancies that are there. For example, you have a problem of overcrowding, and you want to get to release as many people as possible, which therefore means they need to be corrected. And yet you've got a lot of vacancies in psychologists, social workers, nurses, educationists, and even artists. That will actually facilitate the parole of offenders. I know very well that the minister would not release even a lifer unless he has got the psychologist report, and yet there are no psychologists. So what it means is that the person cannot get out of prison when he's entitled to get out of prison, because the department cannot supply a psychologist. So in other words, you are saying to a person, you're entitled to get out, but wait a minute, you must be a psychologist. But they don't have money to pay for a psychologist. In other words, stay in prison until we have money to pay for a psychologist. Which makes it very easy for any lawyer to smile to the bank, because I will then sue you, and I think that you guys are spending more money in defense. defending such cases instead of paying for people. I don't want to emphasize the importance of your of coming up here and say we've got vacancies, but you still pay money for lawyers because you cannot release the people who are entitled to be released because of that. I want to find out how far does this vacancy affect this particular point I'm talking about. The third one is related to criminal activities within within this correctional services, which I think is a pain in the neck of everybody in the country. We've got gangsterism, we've got sodomy and other things that people, prisoners are there. And I asked earlier, much earlier, for people if it is possible that you can assist the officers by putting cameras in the cell to reduce such things. Because if you're working in such a place and you want to search a prisoner, he's telling you that, look here, what's your number? You can't touch me. And so on. People are working in dangerous situations. And I mean, and the department keeps on coming to us and telling us, look here, there are these problems. And you're not having a plan to try and solve them. I want to ask, as much as the chairperson has asked, why do you have vacancies? What are the problems? Is it money? Is it, why? What is the effect of it? I think that, let me pause there.
Thank you, Honorable Mpumlana. I think the department, what members want just to know is why the high vacancy rate continues. And also maybe from your side, in the way you're responding, if you can just indicate what is the plan. And that plan that I'm actually asking that it must have turnaround times. You must actually indicate by when you want to actually have completed filling those many vacancies. And the biggest also question is whether you are budgeting annually for these vacancies. You don't fill them in this year. And then comes the next budget, you budget. And then also in terms of the balance sheet, what implications all of this has got for the balance sheet, because it might not paint a very good picture when it comes to finances of the department. If you can respond to all of that, thanks.
Thank you very much, I am going to try to cover the responses, not in sequence, because some of them, they repeat each other. But the bigger question is the issue of the vacancies. Chairperson, I alluded in the, earlier on indicating that we have improved from where we were to where we are. If you recall very well, in the past we were about 10% of the vacancy rate. We are on 15%, and with the intervention that we put in place since we presented to the committee, we moved to 6.3, which is below the threshold. And I'm not saying that it's fine with what we with regard. We want to achieve the 1.1 vacancy. We want to get able to fill all those positions. So I'm not able to indicate that it is not the fact, it's not because we are not filling positions. We advertise, we fill the positions. And I already previously indicated to the committee that we have a challenge. We fill positions. And then when we fill positions, the other people are exiting on the other side. So we had about 118, approximately 100 per month, people that are resigning. And they are not resigning because they are running away from the department. They go for grabbing other opportunities. And I can confirm to the committee that most of our people that we employ, they are pushed by other departments, more especially on the finance environment, HR environment, And also on the custodial environment, most of them, they are also recruited by the two prisons are within the department. They are taking them outside the department. So that is, and also the other problem that we have in the Chairperson is the termination. So we have a challenge with regard to deaths that we are experiencing. We have our department is an aging department. We have, and also the nature of the recruitment throughout the history of the department. We recruit over 1,000 group of people at the go. And as a result, you realize that the retirement, those people, they go on retirement in almost one at the same time. So that also becomes a problem. So we also have people that are having more than 30 years of service, more than 40 years of service. So some of them, before they reach 50, before they reach 60, they opt to ask for early retirement. And some of them, because of the nature of our work, some of them, they sustain occupational injuries. And some of them, most of them, they have swollen legs, and they say, I can no longer afford to be at home. And they make application for early retirement or for in-health retirement. So as a result of that, that impacts negatively onto our vacancy rate. I must also concede that with regard to the recruitment of people to the department, we accept them. But the problem is that the various OSDs that have been given. Remember, we are using the OSDs that are used by other departments. So as when they come to us, they obtain experience, they go to other departments. The social workers, the psychologists, we had a recruitment strategy. Like in our case, we are not compelled to advertise the position of a social worker, a psychologist, as a nurse. As when they become vacant, we can able to headhunt. But the problem is the OSDs that are making limitations. If you have it requires you to have the necessary experience in order for you to occupy a certain position, whereby you can't even able to condone that particular qualification because you are not compliant with the prescriptions of that OSD. So as a result of that, it becomes a problem. And I'm not able to indicate that we had made attempts to get able, especially on artisans. All these things and critical skills, we advertise, these people are not staying. And private sector is paying more. And in our case, we even went to an extent that we went and made amendments to pay them the notice of correctional officials, which is higher than what they are receiving on entry level. Because they are always these also. We can't able to pay more than what other departments are paying on that specific entry level, which is a challenge for us. Chairperson, with regard to the vacancies on level 15, as I earlier on indicated that us as a department, we are in control of the level 14 downwards. The level 15 are facilitated in the ministry. So even the panel that is sitting there, in our case, we advertise and source out the host list and submit to the chief of staff in the ministry. So we follow up onto the sittings of the shortlisting. And unfortunately, we were told that it is not possible for the committees to sit because of unavailability of ministers, because panel members that are serving there are supposed to be the ministers, our minister, deputy minister, the national commissioner, and other two ministers from other departments. So the unavailability of that of those panel members are impacting negatively onto the city. That is what we got from the chief of staff of the ministry. So in our case, on level 14 downwards, we are in control of that, and hence I already indicated that if you can go back to look at how vacancy rate was on level 13 and how long did we take on the filling of the position, it was prolonged, but the turnaround time has improved. And also, we went in the past, we were centralizing the advertisement of positions. We decentralized to the region for the field. We moved the delegation of the filling of those positions to the regions, responding to Honorable Matulwane, the issue of how far the appointment goes. The regional commissioners, they appoint from level 2 to 12, which is from entry level up until the level of deputy director. The only time they refer their mental to health office is only if they want to deviate from equity. So with regard to the appointments, Chairperson, I'm also able to indicate that we had developed a plan. The vacancies that we having at this point in time, if you can look very well, the Chairperson, they are in head office. They are in head office because we precisely realized that we should be able to take care of the call phase. So in order for us to be able to pay the OSDs that we had, we were compelled to pay within the baseline. So responding to the Honorable Owens, the question of the impact of the budget. So the payment of the OSD affects our budget because we don't get additional funding. Because this is an additional aspect that we deal with. I must able to correct the statement. I already indicated that we could not pay the OSDs because of the interpretation of clause 11 and clause 2. It was not a deliberate action that was made by the department. It was because there was a court battle in the process up until we came to a settlement agreement. So, unfortunately, with that, we did not pay big payments for the period of 6 years. We were able to pay at least with a 6 months back payment. So, we did not go as far as 2006. We went only up until 2016 October. So, we have not taken 6 months to fill that to pay the official. The issue of the engineers and professionals, also because they are also a critical and a scarce skill. Our department is not the only department that is having a challenge with regard to this position. They are scarce skills. You don't find them easily. So in our case, at this point in time, we advertise a whole lot of them. We're in the process of filling all those engineers' positions. Even this morning, the DC who works with that particular one was phoning me to get able to confirm the dates of the showcase. So the disciplinary cases, Chairperson, we will provide the necessary information with regards to how many cases and how many cases of disciplinary hearing and suspension. I must in short indicate that we had put more effort, we improved, we will provide the necessary information. The suspensions were very high, we reduced them, we reduced even the amount of suspensions. So we will provide the necessary figures and the necessary information. The issue of the 2x2 shift, Chairperson Eza indicated that we were unable to implement the 2x12 because it required more staff to be able to do that. Since we could not get more, we had to revert back to the old shift, which is what we are proposing. So we can able to do with the eight-hour shift, which will able to make officials available. We agree that the inability to fill positions impact negatively on the offender ratio. But I can able to confirm that in our case, even now with the cost containment measures, the positions that are in a center level that covers the issue of the programs, the issue of safe custody, the issue of rehabilitation, were excluded from the cost containment measures. We continued to fill and prioritize the positions at the center level, the positions at the call phase. Chairperson, we are well aware that we must create vacancies, and that is what we must create employment. This is what we had embarked on, and we are trying very hard to be able to make sure that we contribute to the NDP by also making sure that we create jobs. And also, the creation of jobs does not only attend there, it also reduces crime because we're taking away those that are vulnerable. We will put more effort and accelerate on that. With regard to the issues raised by Honorable Breitenbach, I already covered the issues of the top management issues. They also, I must also indicate that they also resign and they go, when top management, they go and look for other opportunities. The issue of salary cuts, Chairperson, the reason why they were not updated, there were also talks to get able to do away with the cuts. And as a result of that, the members decided that no, because we are going, because we thought that is duplication, because the SPARSA and the EZG-102 form. So why must we keep that? So we insisted that it also assists in terms of checks and balances. At least you have three documents that can able to verify a salary of that particular person. So what we did after this OSDs, we also instructed the management areas and regions to make sure that the salary cards are kept. The issue of why we did not pay the OSD for 6 years, I covered that. It was because of the cost pressure that we had, which I am proud to indicate that at least after a very long time, with the inception of the current management, we could able to resolve that particular aspect. That also confirms that the relationship with labor was improved to get able to arrive at that particular The issue of not meeting the 30 June the deadline, which is our own deadline. I earlier on alluded that we miscalculated the volume of the work that is entrenched in the payment of the data. We had because we had the cross on the agreement that should we experience problems with regards to the meeting of deadlines. All the deadlines except on the resolution were met except this one. We went back because it's beyond our control because we need the specific officials to provide us with tax clearances, so which was something that we were not aware that it's going to be needed. Our anticipated date, our new target date is the 31st of July 2017, which we are also putting more effort to be able to make sure that we deal with this aspect. With regard to the issues raised by the Honorable One, I am of the opinion that the issue of 6 years, the payment I already covered. The impact of financial statements on the current budget, I already indicated that we don't receive additional funding. We are supposed to work within the, it affects the current budget because we had to suspend filling of positions that are not critical in order to fund that particular bill. So we are working within the current financial year, like in financial year 2016-17, we had to slow down in filling of positions so that we can create a room for that. And obviously, in the current financial year 17-18-19 is going to be 17-18 is going to be the same because we still owe money to these specific ones that of terminations as well as the 17%. We were able to tap on the current vacancy. So we will rely on that. And unfortunately, there's not any other way that we can do other than compromising the positions at head office that are not critical and making sure that we fund the commitment that we made, which is a settled agreement, which is the court decision. So we abide by that. At least we can able to look at the positions that we think are not important and not fill them and fund this particular aspect. So I must confirm that the vacancies that we have are not we are not filling are not impacting on the critical skills. The critical skills is exempted. The call phase, the correctional officials on entry level and rehabilitators are not affected. The people that are affected are administrative positions, not on top management. With regard to the learnership that has been advertised, I already indicated that the closing date for the submission of application was the 2nd of June. We are currently in the process of capturing the gross list. We are going to finish the process and have the learners admitted in both colleges, 1032, 14 August. That is the first group at Zonal Vatan and Crossland College. And thereafter, we will do the second group, which will be looking at at November to get able to have them admitted in various colleges. Chairperson, with regard to the criminal procedure, we will be able to make sure that those that are bullets in this field, that are from Lagos, we provide them a progress report. With regard to the issue of the issue raised by Honorable Masapo, the vacancy rate, I think I had alluded a lot on with regard to the vacancy rate. And I'm still committing ourselves to say that we will accelerate. And at this point in time, we also, with regard to the critical and scarce skills, we are intending to run a national advert outside the operation here to see if we can't able to get the process activated. We acknowledging, we're taking note of the issue of the artisans, as I already indicated, that we are working around the clock to be able to have them appointed. And we are going to take the matter seriously, as it is indicated. The issue of political and nepotism on leadership, Chairperson, I personally made a submission with regards to the issue where we indicated that the matter was investigated by our departmental investigation unit, was investigated by the Public Service Commission. The report was provided to us. The learners that were implicated were taken out of the system. They were removed from the list, the qualifying list. And the officials that were implicated with regards to the issues were given written warnings, were charged and were given written warnings. The matter has been finalized, and those officials are also banned from taking part in the process of recruitment going ahead, even though they are land management, they are no longer are going to be allowed to participate in that process. So I don't know whether we should be able to check whether the report was submitted to the committee or not. But in my case, I was requested by the Intergovernmental Relations to submit that report, which I did. And it's quite some time, I think it's 6 months ago. The making of savings to pay OSD, Chairperson, I must indicate that that was an only option to be able to comply to the settlement agreement, to comply to the OSD agreement, to be able to look at the savings. And I also confirm that we looked at the savings at the non-critical positions. So we have also indicated that we developed a plan to be able to advertise positions and fill positions, and then we prioritized all critical skills as well as the core functions. We are taking note of the advertising of positions on the newspaper. We will also reiterate that it also be distributed, because in our case we were saying the regions and management areas should be able to put those adverts within that. So we will make sure that we communicate that and make sure that this event has communicated, which for me it will shift us. With regard to the e-recruitment, Chairperson, I had already indicated progress on that, which I can able to indicate in detail that the department has initiated an e-recruitment process, which is an online application system to manage response handling on all post advertised and improve turnaround time. I already spoke about that. The system has been fully developed to cover both internal and external applicants in all regions. The system is currently undergoing testing, and once it is completed, it will be forwarded to be produced or implemented. So in terms of our project plan, the system will be implemented from the 1st of July, and as I earlier on indicated, that it will be fully implemented in the new financial year if everything goes well according to our plan. With regard to the issues raised by the Honorable Mapumula. Indeed, in our case, in order for us to deliver on the mandate of the department, we depend a lot on the officials, on the workforce. And we are trying our level best as a department to take care of their wellness. Hence, I indicated that when we paid the OSD, our focus was to make sure that we make them happy. And also, on whatever it is due to them, we should be able to make sure that we pay them. So, in regard to the issue of changing from prison to corrections, I think we passed that era. We had transformed from prison to corrections. So, we even going ahead now training our officials with regard to the correctional environment as compared to the prison environment. With regard to the issues of the gangsterism, we also developed a gang management strategy. Our officials are also trained with regards to the management of gangs and also making sure that the violence is eradicated within our facilities. With regard to the reporting of seniors, we have our disciplinary procedure manual, and we also have our DIU, Departmental Investigation Unit, and as well as code enforcement. But in terms of the land management function, everyone is allowed to report whoever is not doing well. Like in our case, for SMS members, which is from directors upwards, the national commissioner, anyone can be reported. The national commissioner will be able to pronounce on the suspension if that case requires a suspension, or if that person requires to be charged. So the national commissioner can pronounce on that. Then with regards to all the people below level 13, below the directors, the land management, starting from the area commissioner at the management area, as well as the assistant director at the management area, can be able to take care of that. But there is no one who is free from any criminal activities or any maladministration activities. Anyone that is involved in that, if, for instance, in my case, if I am involved in those activities, I can be reported to the national commissioner, who is my supervisor. And any person who is a deputy director can be reported to the director who is responsible for that particular person. If they are colluding, then that matter can be escalated. If they are in a management area, can be escalated to the regional commissioner. And then if the regional commissioner is involved, the supervisor of the regional commissioner is the national commissioner. That matter can be handled at that level. With regard to the handling of grievances, we also have a grievance procedure manual. So the grievance also also line management function. If any other person on entry level who is a correctional official, if that person is not happy or has got anything that is aggrieved him or her, can report to the supervisor. The supervisor can escalate up until we've got 5 levels of handling those grievances, up until it is exhausted. Our form makes a provision of 5 people that can be able to attend to that grievance. And the policy requires that the grievance should be handled within 5 days by that particular level. And if not, it can be escalated to the next level. So we have mechanism that talks to that. So in our case, some of the cases are not finalized in time or are not handled in time because they are policy related. You will find that they are referred to head office to be able to advise. And as a result, because of policy issues, goes from the management area, from the center to the region management area. In terms of our protocol, you can't be able to communicate from the management area direct to head office. So because in the management area, the area commissioner and the head should be able to know what are the problems. Some of them, they can be able to arrest them at that level. So some of those that are taking long, that are policy related, some of them at the end of the day, they end up becoming disputes. I must be able to indicate that some of them, they are disputes that end up being labor courts in arbitration, which we pay instead of dealing with them. But we are encouraging members, managers who can be able to solve the problems at the lower level. In our cases, HR, in most cases, we advise that we don't have prospect of success, less circular implement. And that has yielded some fruits to us. We saw that we can able to work on certain things. We had a problem with managers that were deliberately disadvantaging officials, but we dealt with some of those managers, and we are also encouraging. In our case as HR, we deal as we operate as mediators and looking at the issues that are affecting officials. But I can't able to indicate that the environment. environment has been improved, and hence you don't hear any labor strikes or a lot of people that are complaining. We improved on the relations, and we also address our officials on various meetings. And we also realize that the lack of communication was a problem, and that has been improved. The officials are communicating, and also managers continue to have meetings with officials, and that has assisted us. The vacancies on coalface, on the people that are involved with regards to those, I already covered that. We prioritize in those vacancies, and the most of those positions are attended to. I already alluded to the issues that we have with the psychologist, and I think the chairperson has attested to the fact that we improve on social workers. We are also chairperson currently in discussion with the Department of Social Development, where we have already registered our need on social workers. They said that they were able to give us social workers that we can give to absorb in the position. So there was a meeting which was held with the department, and our department is one of those that are taking part in that particular process. So the issue of how far is vacancy is affecting our work. Indeed, the chairperson lack of staff impacts negatively on the work, but it's trying very hard to do with the liquor that we have in, and also making sure that other people are doubling their efforts to be able to contribute to the mandate of the department. With criminal activities, we try very hard, the chairperson, to deal with those that are brought before us. And our biggest challenge with this is because some of the people, matters are reported. When they are supposed to come and testify in a hearing, they are not coming to present their cases. And then we end up dismissing people because of the looking at the prospects of success or the element of thinking that we want to send a message. But when we go to arbitrations, we lose these cases because our own officials who reported those cases, they are so reluctant to be able to provide. And some of them, they collude with these people. Then when they're supposed to testify, they just mess up the cases. But we have very recent, I must able to indicate that we have people that are very positive because they also realize that as management, we are supporting them to be able to assist us in eradicating the criminal activities. We are not denying that these elements are taking place. We are also trying to be able to look at our recruitment processes, because also our recruitment processes was also focusing on the criminal record, not criminal past, and also vetting people as to where are they coming from. So that will be able to assist us to be able to eradicate, and also knowing the people that we are. So with regards to the installation of cameras, it is also outside my competencies, but I can indicate that I know that there is discussions on the implementation of the cameras. I know that somewhere they are already installed within the centers. The only challenge is to install inside the centers, but I will leave that to the people that are technically involved with regards to this matter. And I will convey the message that we provide a full report with regards to the progress with regards to that. Chairperson, I'm of the opinion that I tried to cover all those that we asked. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think this will be followed by a report from your office in terms of the gaps. that will actually also talk to the turnaround time, because we're concerned about the vacancy rate that has been there over years, and we need to actually know as to what is your plan in terms of filling those vacancies. You've indicated that when it comes to level 15 upwards, you have a blockage in the minister's office. You need to, in the same report, indicate which vacancies have been advertised at level 15 upwards that are stuck in the minister's office. That allows us an opportunity to manage to engage with them meaningfully about these positions. this rotating door syndrome that you're talking about means that you, I don't know whether you have exit interviews, because you need to have exit interviews. When you have a rotating door, you need to look at the reasons so that you could be in the position to address it. Because even if we could, you could probably have a rotating door, but the figures are just too high. Maybe the same report can indicate as to whether you do have any form of employee well-being program, because at the same time we need to be sure that we build morale and, you know, we have some form of employee well-being program that exists. You've indicated that when you're dealing with disciplinary matters, there are officials that mess up. They report the matter, but they don't want to testify. Maybe at the point of reporting, you should get statements that are signed. So then in that way, there's nobody that can actually manage to backtrack from a statement that is already written. Because I imagine then, if you have a tribunal, depending as to whether the panel comes from outside, it's about monies of the department that actually goes to waste. Also indicate as to whether you've got skills development plan and whether you're in the position to manage to access your CETA fund. So sometimes the morale goes low and also people are not ready to participate in their daily activities, maybe in terms of knowledge and ability. It might be a good idea for you to actually indicate to us. And you indicated vetting, that you are doing vetting. The same report that you are going to bring in should actually indicate how many of the personnel have been vetted already up to now, how many are remaining, and maybe the reasons why they're remaining. We still have so many remaining. And then also about disclosures, especially at senior management level. And I'm talking about disclosures because it connects to activities of another committee that may still come to us. So you have to indicate as to how you're doing in that area. Members, I don't know whether you have any follow-up questions. Honorable Mutapo, Honorable Pumlana.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the Polokwane issue, I would like to know how many were removed, how many learnerships, and the corruption is not only around the learnership, even the contractual and the full-time, because the same human resource division, they hire girlfriends, wives, relatives, and so forth. So look into a bigger picture. Thank you.
Mlana?
Yes. I must congratulate you for at least some improvement that you've made on this. However, I would like to know the question that was not properly answered. It was answered as far as the deputy directors are concerned. I think you go as far as that. The question is above that. Is the head office only directly responsible about what is the position if a person who is above the tariff, who is in the region, who has been appointed by the head office, how far does the regional director have control over those people? Are they only controlled, appointed, and controlled by the head office? What I want to find out is how far is the head office, how far does the control of the head office over the people in the region that are above those that we have put in there? Secondly, is the commissioner working as a team or alone vis-à-vis the grievance? I think it is very, very crucial to understand what I'm trying to explain. What I'm trying to say is that we're coming from a force, a situation where you would say nothing, particularly as far as the police and the correctional services are concerned, which used to be a prison service. So it was force. In other words, you wouldn't go above that. That frustrated a lot of people. It can even frustrate the people who are in a certain position, even to regional commissioner for that matter. If there is that particular thing that you are unable, you are not free to come up and say the regional commissioner is oppressing me here, or the national commissioner is oppressing me here, and I'm unable to voice this out. The question is that this department, does it have a way of dealing with that? And also, on the question of, do you have, for instance, an anonymous reporting box where I would say there is this thing and that thing, and I put in there. Who picks it up, if there is such? And who picks it, and how is it dealt with? Because I think that, I think more important, I'm not saying money is not important, but I think the conditions of employment are very crucial in keeping me alive and with less blood pressure when I'm at work and so on. So I think it's very crucial. I know in certain, I don't know about this department, but I know in other departments like police where people get so frustrated, they go and shoot their, supervisor and they shoot themselves. You know, such a thing. I'm trying to say, how does a person end the frustration that they have at work? How do you have a way of doing that? The other one I wanted to raise, Honorable Chair, is I think that how do your salaries compare with the others, like social development as well as health and others? How do they compare? I mean, are you in line with them? Related to that, there was a time when I requested that, is it possible that, for example, with the parolees, which go out, that at least the Department of Social Development is able to take care, because they are in their region, their areas, that you don't really need, or other departments that are getting involved, apart from you only, that are looking after these people. So that is all, Honourable.
Thank you. I don't know whether you're going to be in the position to answer the questions. You can still add them, the responses, in the report that you're going to be sending to us. Do you want to respond to some of them? That the cause.
Chairperson, I will answer some of them, and then the others that require detailed information will provide them. Chairperson, on the issue of the issue of the levels where you could report a person that has is involved in criminal activities or who is lodging, there is no one who's immune in our environment. As I indicated, that any other person has got a supervisor, and also like in our case, we have departmental investigation unit, we have got also HR and DR where these things are reported. And also we have a helpline of anti-corruption where anonymous are reporting on the criminal activities or who are complicit. So everyone has got to be accounted for. Like in our cases, HR, some matters are reported. And this statement is one that I received from KZN. So after receiving those, we investigate or we refer back to the land respect. I'm not able to confirm that. As head office, we are responsible for everyone from entry level up until the top management in terms of disciplinary procedures. And we will also provide the grievance procedure manual and also the disciplinary procedure manual. So there is no one that is free from anything. So we deal with everyone who is mischievous. With regards to the does the commissioner work alone with regard to the issues of that? We normally work as a team. We work as a team on various activities. And obviously, when there is these issues of disciplinary cases, we discuss. When there's issues, we discuss. also involve also labor organizations in our. That is why most of some of the things we've been able to do that in. So we are taking care of the condition of employees. As I already indicated that we are making sure that what is due to our officials, they will receive. And one of them is the issue of the OSD that we worked on, and we compromised all other activities. Chairperson, with regard to how do we deal with the officials that are frustrated, we have employee assistant practitioners in various management areas. We have the chaplains that are appointed to do work for offenders, but they also assist in terms of counseling the officials that are having problems. So, and also the necessary managers that are involved, they also assist. And we also have a team of EAPs in head office, as well as regions, as well as in the country. The salary is comparison, the chairperson, the OSD of social workers is the OSD of social workers across. What a social work department pays is what we pay. What the department has paid their nurse is what we pay. As I already indicated that we are not even allowed to deviate from adjusting a salary. We must go through the Minister of Defence to get it. So what we pay is what every other person is paid. I think those are the issue of Polokwane and nepotism. We will look at that and see how best we can do it to. It's not. It's something very difficult, but we will try our level best to continue to eradicate that. Chairperson, in terms of the financial disclosures, we will provide a report with regard to that. I can confirm that in our case, senior managers, I'm responsible for that. They disclosed their issues. Those that have not disclosed in the previous financial year, we took steps against them. And at this point in time, for the 16-17 financial year, we were able to have everyone disclosing, because only two people on the report that is not disclosing, those that are also not supposed to disclose, are only people that assist to do the administration of the financial disclosures. But with this one, we are efficiently waiting on us to achieve it. We have improved our assignments. We had the interaction with Public Service Commission. We had people that has not disclosed, who disclosed but who did not have approval to do normative work. The Public Service Commission was on board. They interviewed those people, and then they explained why most of them, they had business companies which are dormant, which were not operating, as they did not apply for that. So we have records, and the others that had, who has not disclosed, most of them we wrote letters to them. So with regard to the others which are indicated in the other committee, most of the people are junior members who had their business with the state, which we were also investigating, and we also dealt with others that we found to be on the other side of the law. But we will also provide detailed report with regard to the financial disclosure of senior managers and also the development of those that are doing business with the state. But most of those that are doing business with the state, it's not senior managers, it's junior officials. Then the rest we will provide the report.
As long as when you write the report, you indicate as to what process is followed. Like we were actually saying, you need to give information on disciplinary procedures and the numbers and how you've concluded it. I think also to be in the position to answer Honorable Mutapo's concern about nepotism also in the appointments in Polokwane. Also indicate the Afghanogram, so that we have a picture of what's happening across the board, a clear picture. So if you can include the organogram of the department, for the entire department, when you do the report. You may actually have to call me to come and present this report, but it's an arrangement that will be made through the Secretary of State. Let me take the opportunity of thanking you for coming to present before us and to continue. encourage you to build a department. It's very important for the country. But areas that are weak, we are requesting that you go and try and sort out. And we'll be working together with you on areas that we've actually expressed concern about. As soon as we've received the report, we'll then engage with the follow-up process. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
I'm a dear, 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 I'm a dear,